Chapter 8. Nathan's Army Surplus and Arms was one of my favorite shops in town. Not only could I buy guns and ammo there, but the eccentric man would often give me a small, frequent customer discount, especially when I bought in bulk. I also just really liked the middle-aged conspiracy theorist. We were both kinda outsiders in a fairly straight-laced town, and as long as I avoided the topic of politics, the man was fun to talk to. The ladies and I walked into the store, and a bell above the door rang. Nathan was behind the counter, and he had a rifle disassembled on the counter as he cleaned it.
"Eddie!"
The wild-haired man grinned when he saw me.
"And ladies, it's good to see you all again. What are you looking for today?"
"Hey, Nate," I replied, and I walked up to the counter with Nylame as Amreeland Ibsith strolled around to look at the creative displays of surplus supplies. "I was thinking about getting a new pistol for my friend here."
"Very nice."
The one-armed man smiled as he inclined his head to the Dolrath woman.
"You're a man of singular tastes, Eddie, but no judgments here. I've never met a redhead I didn't like."
I assumed Nathan's comment was about Nylame, and not my taste in guns. The Dolrath woman was the third woman with such a unique appearance that I had brought into his store, after all.
"Okay," I said with an awkward chuckle, as I looked over at the dark-haired woman.
"Do you have any more Glocks?"
"I do,"
the sandy-haired man replied brightly.
"Solid and reliable."
As the shop owner unlocked the back of the display counter and started to pull out a couple of different Glocks to look at, I glanced over the rifle he'd fully taken apart on a cloth on the countertop.
"What do you have going on here?"
I asked.
"Cleaning up an old AR that I'm fixing up for a customer,"
Nathan said.
"Just finished up replacing the fire and control group and gave it a good clean. Hey, time me."
Nathan started to assemble the rifle at a shocking speed. The fact he'd lost an arm barely slowed him down. I quickly looked at my watch to time the man, but I couldn't help but stare as the wild-haired man fixed the butt in the crook of his arm and started to attach other parts with a practiced efficiency. There was no part of the man's body not in use. At one point, Nathan had the rifle between his knees so he could get leverage.
"And done!"
the sandy-haired man cheered.
"How'd I do?"
I looked back down at my watch. "I think about 12 minutes.
"Huh, not my personal best, but still respectable."
Nathan nodded as he set the rifle back on the cloth.
"I'll say,"
I replied, and I was actually impressed. "Takes me 15 minutes to get the Galil put back together."
"Tried with one arm tied behind your back next time,"
the wild-haired man winked.
"I'll do that."
I laughed, and then we got down to business. In the end, I got a Glock with a nice holster and belt for Nylame, along with a couple of extra mags. Then I loaded up on some ammo for both of us.
"This is too much, Eddie,"
Nylame said as I handed her the unloaded gun, but I could tell by the huge smile on her face that she liked it.
"Always let a man be generous," Nathan said with a grin, "especially if he likes you enough to give you a gun."
"I do like it,"
the dark-haired woman smiled.
"Thank you so much, Eddie. I can't wait to try it."
"You're very welcome," I said as I returned her smile. Then I settled up with Nathan, thanked him, and gathered up Ibsith and Amreela before we left the shop. As soon as we were back out in the daylight, I opened the jeep so we could put our bags inside.
"Oh, Eddie!"
I heard Ibsith gasp.
"Look how pretty!"
I looked up, and the white-haired elf pointed across the street at a flower shop that had a display of fall flowers outside in shades of deep red, gold, and orange.
"Do you want some, baby?"
I asked.
"Oh, could I?"
Ibsith breathed.
"They would look so lovely out in the front yard."
"Not as lovely as you," I countered with a wink. "But let's go take a look." I let Ibsith pick out all the flowers she wanted, and paid the somewhat scandalized-looking woman who owned the shop. I guess the older woman had not expected to sell half her fall stock to a blue-skinned elf that day, but Ibsith was all smiles as the four of us got back in the Rubicon. Once we'd returned home, the four of us started to unload Ibsith's new flowers and our bags from Nathan's. But then my cell phone rang. So I looked at the display and saw it was my lawyer, Travis Meyer.
"Hello?"
I answered as I set down the pallet box of orange and yellow flowers.
"Mr. Hill,"
I heard Meyer's calm voice as he skipped the pleasantries and got right to the point.
"I'm afraid I have some bad news."
"Oh?" I replied as I felt my stomach drop. "What now?"
Mr. Stanton has filed a claim in an attempt to hold up the escrow process on your new home.
The lawyer sighed in an annoyed tone.
He's claiming that part of your new house is on his property line, and the escrow company is saying they have to investigate the claim before we can close.
What? I frowned as I felt my temper flare. Do we know if that's true?
Stanton seems to have provided an old map of the neighborhood that shows how the properties were originally divided.
Travis replied,
But I'm skeptical. I'll have Alice hunting down old surveys and maps of the area. Alice is an absolute bloodhound for that kind of thing. Makes her feel like a real Girl Friday.
I knew Alice was Meyer's secretary. I could almost picture the plump Midwestern woman as she pored over microfiche and sipped iced coffee from her sparkly teal thermos with Live, Laugh, Love emblazoned on the front of it. Okay, I said as I got my quiet rage under control. Is there anything we can do?
I'm positive we can sort this out quickly, Mr. Hill.
Travis said on the other side of the line.
This is obviously just a ploy on Stanton's part to try and hold up the escrow to fuck you over.
I blinked in surprise as I heard the mild-mannered lawyer really swear for the first time.
I've hired a surveyor to come out and look at things.
Travis continued.
If it's convenient for you, I can come out with him tomorrow and we'll get this sorted out.
You're coming too? I asked, and I was a little surprised.
Yes. I find that the presence of a lawyer helps to keep things civil. The surveyor will need to check both Mr. Stanton and Mr. Miller's property, so they'll both have to agree to allow him access. Stanton is less likely to say no if I'm there.
Meyer sounded kind of pleased with himself. Well then, tomorrow works for me, I said.
Excellent. Then I'll see you tomorrow.
Meyer hung up the phone, and I looked around at Brock's place with a scowl since I was pretty annoyed with how petty he'd gotten. What a waste of time. And all for a stupid neighborhood feud because he decided to hate me before he even met me. Add to that my unusual living situation, and Brock went full-on nutjob.
Eddie!
I heard Ibsith's anguished cry from the house. A moment later, the blue-skinned woman ran out of the house and threw herself into my arms as she sobbed. What happened? I asked, and the protector in me was suddenly on high alert. Are you hurt?
They're all gone.
Ibsith stammered through her tears.
They're all ruined.
My elven wife buried her face in my chest as tears streamed down her face, and I was ready to wreck whoever or whatever had caused her such pain. What's ruined, baby? I asked as gently as I could. Talk to me. Then I saw Amrila stalk out the front door of the trailer, and her angular face was like a thundercloud.
Someone has been in the backyard.
The horned woman growled with her fists balled in anger.
The little garden house has been destroyed.
Nyla May explained as she calmly joined us.
It appears to be the work of a small animal.
Oh, God, baby. I said to Ibsith as I looked down at her. I'm so sorry. I knew how much my wife loved her greenhouse, but she was in hysterics over it and couldn't even formulate words through her tears anymore. Amrila, I said to the red-skinned woman, could you take her into the house while I go look?
Come, sister.
Amrila said to Ibsith as she gently took her arm.
I'll make you some tea, and you still have your lovely new flowers, so all is not lost.
As the women comforted Ibsith, I went into the backyard through the side gate, and I was surprised to see it was slightly left open. Then I walked up to the greenhouse, and the latch door to that was also open. I looked inside and saw half of the raised bed had been dug up, and there were some tiny paw prints in the dirt. At first I assumed it was a raccoon or something that had gotten in, but when I looked at the paw prints, it was clearly a little dog. Then I noticed a small human footprint. It was too big to be one of the Miller kids, and in the fresh dirt, I could clearly read the words Easy Spirits. That sounded like an old lady brand to me. I was so pissed I could feel the blood rush into my face. Fucking Mrs. Whitmire and her tiny devil dog. I walked through the side gate and then went right up to old bitch Meyer's door, and as I stood on her front porch, I tried to take a moment to breathe before I laid on the bell. The old lady didn't come to the door right away, but I could hear her ankle biter of a dog as it lost its mind at the sound of the continuous doorbell and barked up a storm. Finally, the door opened and Mrs. Whitmire looked up at me with a guilty expression.
May I help you?
The nosy old woman asked. I'd appreciate it if you kept that rat you call a dog out of my yard. I seethed through gritted teeth.
Oh!
Whitmire replied with phony surprise.
Was he in your yard? I had wondered when he came back with muddy paws. You must have left your gate open.
How'd you know it was my backyard? I asked with pointed fury.
I'm sure I don't know what you're trying to imply.
The old woman huffed. I'm implying you know full well where he was and what he did to Ibsith's garden, I said as I raised my voice. And even if you didn't let him back there, the decent thing to do would at least to be honest about what your mutt did.
Well, I can't imagine little Philomena did all that much damage to your wife's little garden,
Whitmire said with clear judgment in her tone.
It's not as if they were award-winning roses, so I'm sure it's no real loss.
What's your problem with my wife? I snapped since I was sick of dancing around the issue. Ibsith has been nothing but kind and patient. She's practically a saint.
Well,
the old woman huffed.
I certainly don't remember any of the saints dressing like that. And really, it's your own fault for leaving your gate open in the first place.
Funny, I said as I glared at Bitchmire's wrinkled face. My gate is weighted. It closes and latches on its own. Nice fucking easy spirits, by the way. They look just like the footprint you left in my greenhouse. But I would keep your mud off my property from now on. Wouldn't want to mistake it for a coyote and accidentally shoot it. The old lady gasped in shocked offense, but I stomped away and didn't wait for a reply as I marched back over to my trailer. Thankfully, Ibsith had calmed down by the time I got inside. Amrila and Nylame sat on either side of her on the couch, and the white-haired woman had a mug of tea in her hands. You okay? I asked as I sat on the edge of the old coffee table.
Yes.
Ibsith gave me an embarrassed smile.
I'm sorry I made such a fuss. I don't know what came over me. They're only vegetables, after all.
Well, not if they're important to you. I replied as I gently touched her arm. You were really proud of them. How about we grab some lunch? Then I think I have an idea about something we can do to cheer you up.
Oh, I am quite hungry,
the elven woman said and placed her hand on her belly.
I feel like it's been ages since breakfast.
The four of us took the boxes of mums into the backyard, and I made sure as shit to latch the side gate this time. Then I drove us to our favorite diner, and we ordered half the menu and ate in the car.
You know,
Amrila said as she munched on some fries,
I'd be happy to take care of that little rat for you, Ibsith. Whitmire's dog.
The white-haired woman giggled.
No, it's not the animal's fault.
I couldn't help but notice there was a pause as my elven wife thought about it first, but her overall sweet disposition won out in the end. After we'd eaten and threw away the trash in one of the parking lot trash cans, I drove the four of us to a paintball course I knew of between Westhurst and Elyria. We pulled up and parked, and then I went into the front office to rent us all some gear. I hadn't gone paintballing since I was in high school, and I kinda wished I had some of my old stuff. The paintball guns and eye protection I rented looked a little worse for wear, but I knew we would have fun anyway. I handed the ladies each a gun, some safety glasses, and some white overalls stained with paint from previous uses. And then I showed them how to load in the paint-filled balls.
Where are the targets?
Ibsith asked as she zipped up her overalls and looked around. I'd taken the ladies out to shoot in the woods before, so even Ibsith knew how to use the rifles or a pistol if she needed to. If there were guns in the house, I felt everyone should know how to use them and understand gun safety. But this was going to be something else entirely. And I couldn't wait to see how my sweet, passive elven wife reacted to paintballing. Well, that's the fun thing about this, I said with a big-ass grin on my face. These aren't real guns. They're not designed to kill. These shoot out little balls filled with paint. But honestly, they do kind of hurt if someone fires one at you close up or hits you in a sensitive area like the face.
They shoot paint?
Amrila asked with a raised eyebrow, and she looked at the paintball gun in her hand with a little disappointment.
What's the purpose of that?
It's just for fun, I snorted. Like a game. I got a different color paint for each of us. So we run around the course over there, shoot at each other, and then we can count up how many hits we each got to see who won.
So, it's like a war game.
Nylame smiled at the thought. Exactly, I replied. Sometimes people divide up into teams, but since there's only four of us, I think we could just do a free-for-all.
Actually, I think Amrila and I should be on a team, and you and Nylame can be on a team.
Ibsith interjected quickly, and I could almost see the wheels turning in my elven wife's head. Ibsith clearly liked the Dolrath princess, and she wanted to give me a chance to get closer to her. Because the violet-eyed woman was so unassuming and kind, It was easy to overlook how sly she could be when she wanted to, but she couldn't sneak much past her husband.
Yes, I'll be on the team with Ibseth,
Amrila said with a mischievous smile.
I'll teach you how to be a warrior, sister.
Okay, I said with a quiet sense of amusement. I guess that makes us a team, Nilame.
I'm all right with that,
the dark-haired woman replied with a slight flush to her cheeks. Then I guess the only fair thing to do is to give these two a head start. I nodded toward Ibseth and Amrila. You've got 20 seconds to find a good hiding place, and make sure to keep those safety glasses on and not shoot anyone at close range. Oh, and no headshots, obviously. I went over a couple more safety tips and how to use the paintball guns. I'd rented out the whole course for an hour, so it would just be us. That should give me and the ladies more than enough time to use up all the pellets I'd gotten for us. All right, I said as I looked at my watch to count down Ibseth and Amrila's head start. And go! Amrila ran for the course and started to dart around the obstacles and plywood structures that were meant to provide a little cover. Ibseth ran after the horned woman in a fit of giggles, and I instantly wondered how good of an idea it was for her to team up with Amrila. The Zinkari woman was so competitive, and my white-haired wife couldn't take the game nearly as seriously as Amrila would. I guess we would see how things went. Okay, I said after 20 seconds. Let's go in after them.
How do you like their odds?
Nilame chuckled. They're not as experienced as we are with firearms, I laughed. But don't underestimate Amrila. She's going to do everything she can to win. As the Dolrath princess and I entered the course, we crouched down low and looked around the wall of one of the wooden walls. The course had been designed to discourage anyone from finding a spot and camping out to pick off other players, so none of the obstacles or structures provided 360-degree cover. Then, as Nilame and I tried to move up in position, a green paintball whizzed past me to splatter on the plywood next to me. That was Amrila. I looked around to try to spot my wives, but a paintball hit my arm and stained my shoulder pink.
Yay!
I heard Ibseth cheer as she got a hit. But she gave away their position behind some blue plastic barrels, so Nilame and I quickly moved up and started to shoot our paintballs at the Zinkari and Elf as they ran for new cover.
Don't cheer!
I heard Amrila shout back at Ibseth.
You told them right where we were!
As the two women ran for another wooden wall, Nilame and I got a couple of good shots in. My blue projectiles and Nilame's yellow ones burst on Ibseth and Amrila's white overalls. But my wives moved fast enough that I couldn't get a count on how many times we'd hit them. It was a great way to pass an afternoon, and soon I forgot all about Brock Stanton and Mrs. Whitmire. Amrila and Ibseth ended up being a really good team, to my surprise, and when it came time to count up our hits and declare a winner, it ended up a lot closer than I would have guessed. But then again, my height ended up being a huge disadvantage, since it was much harder for me to hide in the course than it was for the ladies. So that's 32 direct hits for Amrila and Ibseth, I said, and 34 for Nilame and me.
What about the one on your right shoulder?
Amrila asked with a hand on her hip. That's splatter, I chuckled. Splatter from a near miss doesn't count, and that would still only put you at 33, partner.
33 is still more than 32,
Amrila snorted.
That's true,
Nilame grinned.
It is more, but still less than 34.
My Zinkari wife rolled her black eyes, but the four of us all laughed together. All right, I relented. I'll give you the splatter, but we still won this time.
This time?
The horned woman winked at me. I returned all the rented gear, and the four of us piled into the jeep and headed for home. As the women all took turns in the shower to wash the paint off their hair, I went ahead and ordered some pizzas and ran out for more beer. I figured we could all just have a nice evening in, and Ibseth wouldn't have to worry about cooking for everyone and just relax with the rest of us. By the time I got back from the store, the trailer smelled like fresh pizza, and the fragrant soaps and shampoos the ladies liked. In my opinion, nothing smells better than a place after a woman's shower. It was an intoxicating scent of clean skin and femininity. Then there was the sight of the three of them sitting in the living room as they joked and laughed together. There was no better feeling in the world than that sight.
Let's watch a movie,
Ibseth enthusiastically suggested as we all got some beer and pizza.
You will love it, Nilame. They are like plays, but better. Oh?
Amrila gasped around a bite of pizza.
We should watch the one about the metal man who tries to hunt down the woman and her son. Sarah Connor is the best. What about the one where the pretty dark-haired woman falls in love with the man who is sleeping?
Ibseth suggested.
Oh, no.
The red-skinned woman rolled her eyes.
Wait!
Wait, Nyla May is our guest. She should pick. Would you rather watch a story where a woman discovers a warrior inside herself and fights a man made of metal, or a soppy love story about a confused woman who pines after an unconscious man?
This was a pretty typical argument for my wives. They really did love each other and look after one another, but when it came to movies or TV, they hardly ever agreed. For me, it was just an endearing part of our daily life. But I could see poor Nyla May struggle as she was put in the middle of it.
Is there another option?
The dark-haired woman asked hesitantly.
One that has both romance for Ibsith and fighting for Amrila?
You know what? I replied as a thought hit me. There is a perfect movie just like that, and it's one of my all-time favorite movies. The four of us took our beers and plates piled with steaming slices of pizza into the living room and sat down. Amrila took the chair, and Ibsith intentionally took the far end of the couch, so Nyla May and I ended up next to each other on the couch. I guessed my wives had conspired at some point to create as many opportunities as possible for the Dolrath woman and I to be close together, because usually I would sit in between them on the couch so we could all cuddle up together. I chose to let them have their fun and not say anything for now, and I wouldn't complain about a chance to be close to Nyla May. Once we were all settled in, I turned the TV on and found The Princess Bride on one of the streaming services. It's not going to make sense at first, I said as the movie started. But trust me, this story is something for everyone. It's what makes it one of the best movies ever made. The sound of an 8-bit video game started to play on the TV as the movie opened, and I casually put my arm on the back of the couch, right behind the dark-haired woman, as Nyla May tucked her legs under her and partly leaned against me. Then I felt as the Dolrath woman rested her hand lightly on my leg. A warm sensation started to fill my core at the warrior woman's touch. It was kind of like high school all over again. Those first few gestures of interest, as something unspoken passed between us. I could barely pay attention to the film, but as the four of us laughed, drank, and cheered at the movie, things started to relax, and soon the Dolrath princess shifted and fully leaned against me as I put my arm around her. When the movie was over, even Amrila had a couple of tears in her eyes that she quickly wiped away before anyone could see.
Oh, that was the perfect movie.
Ibsith choked as a few tears fell down her face.
I loved the giant. He was so sweet.
I liked the boy and his grandfather.
Nyla May added.
I liked the man who avenged his father.
Amrila said as she nodded. I'm glad everyone liked it. I grinned as we all got up and started to clean up after our dinner. Once the mess was cleaned up, my wives headed back to the master bedroom, and I found myself alone for a moment with Nyla May. I'm really glad you came with me, I said as we stood in the kitchen. I've enjoyed showing you the surface world.
It's not at all like the old stories,
the dark-haired woman replied.
And your wives are right. You're entirely too modest. What you've built here is a wonder.
I like it, I grinned. We'll go back to the gloom soon, since there's still a lot to do down there, but you're free to come back with me anytime you'd like.
I would like that, Eddie.
Nyla May smiled at me, and there was a slight blush at her blue-toned cheeks.
This was a good day. One of the best I've ever had. Thank you.
I thought about kissing the Dolrath woman right then, but it didn't feel like quite the right moment. There was definitely something between us, but it needed to grow and flourish a little more, so I went around and locked up. As I went down the hallway, I passed the dark-haired woman, and she paused in the doorway of Amrila's room. Good night, beautiful, I said as I smiled at the tall, muscular woman.
Good night, handsome.
Nyla May replied with a quiet kind of confidence. As I went into the master bedroom, I felt a warmth in my chest. Everything felt right as I laid down in my big bed, and my two wives curled up around me. Then we all fell asleep together in a pile, and it was the perfect end to a perfect night. The next day, I woke up again to see that Ibsith had still managed to get up first, and the comforting scent of fresh coffee and breakfast was in the air. I quickly got dressed in my usual t-shirt and jeans, and then I threw on a flannel as an afterthought, since it was cooler outside now. As I went into the kitchen, Ibsith pulled some fresh muffins from the oven and smiled at me. I don't know how you keep getting up before me, I said as I pulled my first wife in for a good morning kiss.
I do not want you to have to wait for breakfast.
The oven woman smiled at me.
It is the wife's duty to take care of her husband.
Ibsith had on a pair of tight leggings and a crop-top sweater that showed off the woman's slim waist. She looked cozy, casual, and so effortlessly beautiful, and I couldn't stop myself from pulling her into a deep kiss. As I poured myself some coffee a few minutes later, I looked out the window over the sink and saw the sky was overcast. Soon everyone was awake, and we munched on the delicious blueberry muffins Ibsith had made from scratch. Amrila was in skin-tight, black skinny jeans, and a band t-shirt one of the McMillan boys had given her with the logo of their terrible metal band on it. Meanwhile, Nyla May had borrowed another cozy sweater and some shorts from Ibsith, and I did my best not to stare at her long, very muscular bare blue legs. There was a knock at the door, and I opened it and saw Travis Meyer dressed in a tailored suit, with not a hair out of place. "Mr. Hill." The lawyer nodded as he looked at me through his wire-framed glasses. "How's it going, Meyer?" I smiled. "Very well," Travis replied without inflection. "I brought the surveyor, but I wanted to take a moment to speak with you privately. Some interesting things have come to light." "Well, come on in," I replied, and I stepped aside to let the man in the suit inside. "You remember Ibsith and Amrila? This is our friend Nyla May." "Ladies?" Maya respectfully inclined his head to the women.
"Would you like some coffee or a muffin?"
Ibsith asked.
"That would be delightful," Travis replied.
The blue-skinned woman jumped up to get them, and she looked so happy that a guest had finally taken her up on her hospitality. I invited Travis to sit down, and the tidy man took the armchair as Ibsith handed him one of her muffins on a little plate and coffee in the mug that had World's Greatest Lover on it. I really needed to get some new dishes.
"This smells divine."
Meyer thanked the white-haired woman before he got right back to business. "I wanted to mention something I came across as I was investigating Mr. Stanton's claim." "What's that?" I asked as I took a sip of coffee.
"Well, it appears Brock Stanton might be involved in some illegal activities,"
Meyer said in a serious tone.